This is the reading for June 1st. Job chapter 2. On another day, the angels came to show themselves before the Lord, and Satan was with them again. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "I have been wandering around the earth, going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him. He is an honest and innocent man, honoring God and staying away from evil. You caused me to ruin him for no good reason, but he continues to be without blame." "One skin for another," Satan answered. "A man will give all he has to save his own life. But reach out your hand and destroy his flesh and bones, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "All right then, Job is in your power, but you may not take his life." So Satan left the Lord's presence. He put painful sores on Job's body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Job took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself, and he sat in ashes and misery. Job's wife said to him, "Why are you trying to stay innocent? Curse God and die." Job answered, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Should we take only good things from God and not trouble?" In spite of all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Now Job had three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. When these friends heard about Job's troubles, they agreed to meet and visit him. They wanted to show their concern and to comfort him. They saw Job from far away, but he looked so different, they almost didn't recognize him. They began to cry loudly and tore their robes and put dirt on their heads to show how sad they were. Then they sat on the ground with Job 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how much he was suffering. 1 Kings chapter 9. Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord and his royal palace and everything he wanted to build. Then the Lord appeared to him again, just as he had done before in Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I have heard your prayer and what you have asked me to do. You built this temple, and I have made it a holy place. I will be worshipped there forever and will watch over it and protect it always. But you must serve me as your father David did. He was fair and sincere. You must obey all I have commanded and keep my laws and rules. If you do, I will make your kingdom strong. This is the promise I made to your father David, that someone from his family would always rule Israel. But you and your children must follow me and obey the laws and commands I have given you. You must not serve or worship other gods. If you do, I will force Israel to leave the land I have given them, and I will leave this temple that I have made holy. All the nations will make fun of Israel and speak evil about them. If the temple is destroyed, everyone who passes by will be shocked. They will make fun of you and ask, 'Why did the Lord do this terrible thing to this land and this temple?' People will answer, 'This happened because they left the Lord their God. This was the God who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, but they decided to follow other gods. They worshipped and served those gods, so the Lord brought all this disaster on them.'" By the end of 20 years, King Solomon had built two buildings, the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. At that time, King Solomon gave 20 towns in Galilee to Hiram, king of Tyre, because Hiram had helped him with the buildings. Hiram had given Solomon all the cedar, pine, and gold he wanted. So Hiram traveled from Tyre to see the towns Solomon had given him. But when he saw them, he was not pleased. He asked, "What good are these towns you have given me, my brother?" So he named them the land of Kabul, and they are still called that today. Hiram had sent Solomon about 9,000 pounds of gold. This is the account of the forced labor Solomon used to build the temple and the palace. He had them fill in the land and build the wall around Jerusalem. He also had them rebuild the cities of Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. In the past, the king of Egypt had attacked and captured Gezer. After burning it, he killed the Canaanites who lived there. Then he gave it as a wedding present to his daughter who married Solomon. So Solomon rebuilt it. He also built the cities of Lower Beth-horon and Baalath, as well as Tadmor, which is in the desert. King Solomon also built cities for storing grain and supplies and cities for his chariots and horses. He built whatever he wanted in Jerusalem, Lebanon, and everywhere he ruled. There were other people in the land who were not Israelites: Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They were descendants of people that the Israelites had not destroyed. Solomon forced them to work for him as slaves, as is still true today. But Solomon did not make slaves of the Israelites. They were his soldiers, government leaders, officers, captains, chariot commanders, and drivers. These were his most important officers over the work. There were 550 supervisors over the people who did the work on Solomon's projects. The daughter of the king of Egypt moved from the old part of Jerusalem to the palace that Solomon had built for her. Then Solomon filled in the surrounding land. Three times each year, Solomon offered whole burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar he had built for the Lord. He also burned incense before the Lord, so he finished the work on the temple. King Solomon also built ships at Ezion-Geber, a town near Elath on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Hiram had skilled sailors, so he sent them to serve in these ships with Solomon's men. The ships sailed to Ophir and brought back about 32,000 pounds of gold to King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10. When the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, she came to test him with hard questions. She traveled to Jerusalem with a large group of servants and camels carrying spices, jewels, and much gold. When she came to Solomon, she talked with him about all she had in mind, and Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain to her. The queen of Sheba learned that Solomon was very wise. She saw the palace he had built, the food on his table, his many officers, the palace servants, and their good clothes. She saw the servants who served him at feasts and the whole burnt offerings he made in the temple of the Lord. All these things amazed her. So she said to King Solomon, "What I heard in my own country about your achievements and wisdom is true. I could not believe it then, but now I have come and seen it with my own eyes. I was not told even half of it. Your wisdom and wealth are much greater than I had heard. Your men and officers are very lucky, because in always serving you, they are able to hear your wisdom. Praise the Lord your God, who was pleased to make you king of Israel. The Lord has constant love for Israel, so he made you king to keep justice and to rule fairly." Then she gave the king about 9,000 pounds of gold and many spices and jewels. No one since that time has brought more spices than the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Hiram's ships brought gold from Ophir as well as much juniper wood and jewels. Solomon used the juniper wood to build supports for the temple of the Lord and the palace and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. Such fine juniper wood has not been brought in or been seen since that time. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba everything she wanted and asked for, in addition to what he had already given her of his wealth. Then she and her servants returned to her own country. Every year, King Solomon received about 50,000 pounds of gold. Besides that, he also received gold from the traders and merchants, as well as from the kings of Arabia and governors of the land. King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold, each of which contained about 7.5 pounds of gold. He also made 300 smaller shields of hammered gold, each of which contained about 4 pounds of gold. The king put them in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. The king built a large throne of ivory and covered it with fine gold. The throne had 6 steps on it, and its back was round at the top. There were armrests on both sides of the chair, and each armrest had a lion beside it. 12 lions stood on the 6 steps, 1 lion at each end of each step. Nothing like this had ever been made for any other kingdom. All of Solomon's drinking cups, as well as the dishes in the palace of the forest of Lebanon, were made of pure gold. Nothing was made from silver, because silver was not valuable in Solomon's time. King Solomon also had many trading ships at sea, along with Hiram's ships. Every 3 years, the ships returned, bringing back gold, silver, ivory, apes, and baboons. So Solomon had more riches and wisdom than all the other kings on earth. People everywhere wanted to see King Solomon and listen to the wisdom God had given him. Every year, those who came brought gifts of silver and gold, clothes, weapons, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He kept some in special cities for the chariots, and others he kept with him in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Solomon made silver as common as stones and cedar trees as common as the fig trees on the western hills. He imported horses from Egypt in Kew. His traders bought them in Kew. A chariot from Egypt cost about 15 pounds of silver, and a horse cost nearly 4 pounds of silver. Solomon's traders also sold horses and chariots to all the kings of the Hittites and the Arameans.